Thank you, Chair. On page 73, we had talked about adding a section regarding, page 73, we added a section called Community Safety Concerns. This is the portion where I put a little, couple blurbs about the limited cell coverage in the county for emergency broadcasts, and then we talked about the diversion of resources as well that you had brought up the last meeting.
Maybe it's enough. I looked over this last night and again this morning on your limited wireless communication coverage. I think, and really the county government, I don't know how much influence we have, but there is a disturbing pattern that as cellular companies improve technology and we've gone from digital or analog to digital to 3G to 4G to 5G, works great in municipalities where you can have multiple towers and the wave doesn't have to carry that far. But the only way, they're improving technology and service is getting worse. Because the waves don't go as far. And it's to the point where it would be the best thing that could happen is for Verizon US and AT&T to just throw back up some 3G so we'd have service again in our remote areas. It's to the point where now in the middle of my barn, where a year ago I could have a conversation with somebody, I have zero service now. I couldn't even call 911 if I wanted to. And so it's, the coverage is there, but it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller as technology improves. It's diametrically in opposition. And that's the concern in rural counties. MODOC is seeing the same thing in MODOC County. I think all rural counties are.
Yeah.
But it's a real concern.
And honestly, I know that's fixable, but it's just financially, it's not worth it for the company. It's better for them to have you buy the satellite package or the hotspot. You know?
The hotspot doesn't work now because the 5G doesn't reach as far.
How about Starlink? Is it Starlink?
Yeah, the Crook tribe uses Starlink.
Yeah.
Because I know people are getting access before they couldn't get service. I don't have it.
Okay, continue on.
And then page 75, this is another addition. We added the livestock pass program.
Yeah,
on page 75.
Yeah, can you expand on that? I think I don't understand that.
The livestock pass program, and the chair would be better to explain this, but they had brought, Mr. Fowle had brought this up at the last meeting about how when there is an emergency, right?
That's my pass.
Okay.
Yeah, so that pass allows the chair to go back to his property, pass through the checkpoints, provided that law enforcement says it's okay. He goes through those checkpoints and then he can care for his animals, take care of the farm, take care of the ranch. Otherwise, it's probably not feasible to move, 400 or 500 head of cattle.
And it also lets me get through roadblocks to evacuate other people.
Yeah.
I've been through the course and the training. I have the PPE. And
would you say most cattle producers are?
No. There are only about 30 to 35 of us.
So this commercial livestock operator, that's a definition? Is a commercial livestock operator?
That's what CAL FIRE deems us as.
Okay. Let me charge this for a moment. Wasn't this brought about with that last wildfire where some rancher wanted to go to his property to check on it and they wouldn't let him through?
Dave Bailey.
Hmm?
Dave Bailey. Down in Tehama?
Butte.
Yep.
Anybody 600 head?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Would you say most producers know about this and or?
We are, all are aware of it, and it's kind of a choice of location. If you think you're in an area that could be roadblocked due to a fire, this is a way to get it to ensure you can get in and out.
Good. I don't imagine the people on I-5 are in the program because it's never going to be blocked. But I can imagine areas of the county like Applegate or something.
A lot of places.
Tim Nielsen is.
That's on Old Stage, right? Or is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so page 89. Chair Fowl, looking at the graphic, I noticed that we are missing some fires from our past wildfires. So I added the Shelley Fire. I didn't have page 89. Appendix A.
Wow.
You can just do that. Because your page is
already there.
But yeah, we just added the Shelley Fire. I didn't know the other missing ones, and I'm not really good with graphics. So, but I think that's passable. So what I did was I went and took I cut out the graphic that was on the internet on some website, re-edited it, and then spun it around, matched it up to our map, slid over. It's the same size as the Shelley Fire, same dimensions, same location. So.
Yeah, they just had it as a different name.
Yeah.
It was a Kidder Complex or something.
Yeah.
And so, now, as of what is today, June 18th, you can create another table for 2025, and you'll have 20 fires listed.
And then, and so, again, for the Ag Department, we added them. There's a section in the safety element called the Institutional Framework. Basically, it just describes all the institutions and regulations that governs hazards. We included the Ag Department. It would be in Appendix D.
D as in dog.
For the commission, it's on page 152. For you, it's probably 160.
162.
Yeah.
Went too far. You said 152?
152, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, just pretty generic blurb, right? We just want to recognize their contribution and what their role is. And then on page 155, we added a new appendix. This is Appendix F. Chair Fowl had asked how the national risk index scores are calculated, and so we did a summary of how those costs were calculated. I can talk about them. I couldn't do the calculation myself. Just the numbers they used didn't make sense. But so that was included. Let's see. Basically, it just ended up being a fraction of some sort, you know, if we all recall the high school math, but after all their fancy formulas, it's just a ratio, that, right? They took social vulnerability, divided by your community resilience, and that's your community risk factor. So this section here that Rachel has, the source data, this is for social vulnerability, right? They look at these four categories: socioeconomic status, household characteristics, racial demographics, housing type, and they go through and they use the census data, right? So they can go through the county and tell us how many people are below 150% of the poverty level, that sort of thing. But yeah, so that's Appendix F. Very few people will be able to go to the source material and do the calculations themselves. I think it's one of those cases where we just kind of take it for what it's worth and assume FEMA did the right calculation because we're not statisticians.
It's interesting looking at this. The very high and relatively high are areas that are either prone to wildfire or hurricane.
The nationwide map.
If you look at the southern, southeastern U.S., tip of Florida, they're red, orange like we are. Mm-hmm. What is surprising is that bright red through the heart and along the coast of California, which is neither hurricane nor wildfire.
Earthquake.
Bingo.
Okay. Yeah, it depends, right?
I forgot about that. Yep.
And then in the middle of the country, you got all the hail and stuff too, so it's going to be...
That northern Nevada is what surprises me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other than that being rather low income,
right.
What is the Mother Nature emergency that would hit other than dry cold?
Yeah, I think I was going to say it's probably the dry severe cold. It's
high desert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do 18, if I recall right. They do 18 type of hazards, you know.
Yeah, so, I was going through looking at
things. Yeah. I think for us in Siskiyou County, it's drought and wildfire is what they said.
Las Vegas is one of the safest places to be, even though they have the torrential rains and the flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to the casino.
Okay.
All right, and so... And then on page 181, and you don't have the full list here, but I've improved on this list since. It's Appendix H, the last one. But basically what we've done here is we're going through the entire county and determining where, we're deciding each area that has only one evacuation route, and we rephrase the term the way the chair requested, as opposed to how it's written in the law, right? So it's more clear, right? Residential areas with one evacuation. But basically, you can go here, you can look at the longitude and latitude, you can type that in yourself, or you just click the link. See, if Rachel were to click that link there.
excuse me.
Anyway, if it did work,
It would pop a map up,
right, showing like everything past that point on Hilltop, right, only has one evacuation route, and there's like 10 houses in that area. But we were going through the entire county and doing this, and so we'll have at the end of the day all the points in the county that only have one evacuation route. And that's for future improvements, you know, pending funding, that sort of thing.
I'll just make a couple comments on the Scott Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Intersection, Hertz Gulch Road,
mm-hmm.
now actually does connect to the top of Parkstrand.
Up on the ridge there?
And after the fire that came from Gazelle, Facey Bingham Road actually now connects with Noyes Valley.
Because they went over the hill,
the,
maybe.
The fire line with the cats, they were running. I'm not sure if it's improved enough to pull it off the list, but take a look.
And that's one of the things, too, is when we looked at it, if it looked like there is a dirt road, but can the average person use their... You know, unless they have a Bronco.
Facey Bingham to Noyes, I drive that in my pickup now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's actually kind of a nice drive.
Is it open to the public?
And it's lane number Facey Bingham.
It's well used now. Week,
really?
Yeah. By locals.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. And again, we're always trying to balance like what's appropriate and how likely people are going to be able to use that. And in the meantime, we had also received comments from the Department of Conservation. They had requested some changes, and we made those changes. These changes they requested actually were towards the local hazard mitigation plan. But my feeling is that's not going to be updated. You know, I think OES is not going to touch that. So any comments that were sent, we forwarded to them. But what we did was we took those comments and included it into the safety element, just so that.
And now it's from DOC?
Department of Conservation, yes. Basically, I guess that would be the Geological Survey, Cal Geological, because they're part of, they're underneath the Conservation Department.
Okay.
They just wanted us to add more information on earthquakes, so we did that on page 37 and 38. They did have some good comments regarding the electrical grid that I didn't know about for Mount Shasta, and that was on page 44. It's interesting to see just how much high transmission lines and substations there are in the Mount Shasta volcano area. That's on page 44 of your packet, Commission. But you see there's 1,223 miles of high transmission lines around Mount Shasta. And there's also like 86 substations. And then in California, what was that, sir?
86 substations?
Within that area. So, but the Mount Shasta area, I think it's going to be including McLeod, Dunsmuir, Weed, Mount Shasta, Lake Shasta.
There's no way in hell there's 86 substations. I know of two in the Mount Shasta area, and they're going to be combined shortly.
You might be surprised. There are three brand new ones going out 89.
Where? Oh, on the other side of McLeod?
Yep. Oh, there are two new ones on 97. One of them's right along the railroad tracks.
And they're pretty small.
Yeah, they're not big, but no, I've noticed a number of them going up.
So yes. I want to make sure that you're aware that this is the volcano hazard area, not the town itself.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Yeah. So it includes Weed and Dunsmuir.
Yeah, it'll go basically to the base of the mountain there.
Because it says Mount Shasta, not. Whoa!
No, think of Mount as in the mountain itself.
You live in a metropolis down there, don't you? Yeah, I do.
And then.
Many people there.
That's what's inside living in the mountain.
And then they wanted us, the Cal Geological Survey, they wanted us to include the probability of eruptions for Medicine Lake and Mount Shasta. I don't know how they calculate this, but according to the federal government, there's a 3.5% chance that Mount Shasta erupts in the next 30 years, but I wouldn't bet on it, you know, but we put it in there because they requested that.
So. I was noticing the ranking here, and I can't, it was not the radio. But I was looking at a recent geological site where they were talking about the plates and where most likely the next eruption is going to happen. And, you know, they were talking about the volcano here in the Pacific that just erupted.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had Medicine Lake ranked as a higher risk than Mount Shasta on their sheet. There were a number of places. In fact, they had St. Helens as more likely for another eruption before Mount Shasta.
So there's different criteria for that, and so both can be right. So for Mount Shasta and Medicine Lake, the reason my Medicine Lake is lower than Mount Shasta is not, it's the ranking right here they have where the threat group is very high and high, that relates to population and development around.
Not that it will, but the impact it will have if it does.
Yes, and there's way more people in that area of Mount Shasta than Medicine Lake. That's why that's there.
Okay.
And then 1% chance to erupt for Medicine Lake, and then I said we'd be done in another 20, so let me, I have some more changes. And then the planning department on its own, Commissioner Beal had brought up a good point at the last meeting about how he did not believe in the numbers regarding the flood, the water elevation for a dam failure for Mount Shasta, the Box Canyon Dam. I went back and read, and I agreed with him, and so we went through the entire safety element and removed any of those. Any mention about how high the water could be in Dunsmuir, but we kept or we changed it to match Dunsmuir's own safety element, but the water could reach Dunsmuir in 15 minutes, as opposed to the water levels. And those water levels that we had originally, those were actually just the elevations between the water level and like the structures of the bridge. So it's totally, we misunderstood that. And so you corrected and we changed that, Commissioner. And then, we added, if you scroll down a little bit, you can see it on yours. This safety element is designed for electronic devices. Most people are using electronic devices now. And so either if you're on your phone or stuff, we added a back to the table of contents link on the bottom of each page. So if you're on your phone and you just flip it, you just click through and go back to the table of contents quickly, and you can sift through the safety element quicker that way. So we've made that change. We added the suppression cost for McKinney Fire and the Mill Fire on page 17. I think that was just, again, sometimes we need, for lack of a better term, filler. But I still felt it was relevant for this section just to give people an idea, you know, just the cost it takes, you know. And the suppression cost is just the cost of putting the fire out. It's not the cost of recovery, cleanup, or rebuilding, you know. But it's interesting to see how significant these fires can be. And then on page 18, and we just added some more clarifying language regarding areas of responsibility. Nothing significant. We deleted Appendix C, it's a requirement.
Before you get off page 18, your color codes are accurate with one exception. You don't have red and what that signifies, which I believe is municipality response, in your legend.
So the gray area is the local area local responsibility area. Red actually, yes, you're right, the municipalities, and that red corresponds to the new fire hazard maps that CAL FIRE has issued, right, for the different cities and stuff.
But aren't all the red city response?
And they would fall into the gray area. I guess I could.
Oh, okay.
Right, they're included.
I just, in the legend, I see federal and I see local, and then I see CAL FIRE, and so you have green, gray, pink, orange, yellow, but red is not in your legend.
Yeah, and I think red, if we're looking at right, I think you're right. It's just all the towns, and then. For each of those towns, it's still local. I can add a section in there that says, you know, with the red, it's also included in the local.
It's basically municipality response.
Yes.
Just in case, I know somebody's going to ask you, what does the red mean? Throw it in the legend,
yeah.
And they can look it up.
So we deleted Appendix C. Appendix C is just now page 21. One of CAL FIRE's requirements is they want us to show, you know, the distribution of land uses in the county.
What page are you on?
Right here.
Yeah. Distribution of land uses. Basically, we just used two maps, right? We transposed. Or we put two maps next to each other so you could see where the what CAL FIRE's area of responsibility is. Basically, they get everything that isn't federal or local. This was just a requirement, so we didn't spend too much time on this. We did add some verbiage on page 22 about the forest density, right? It's just some of the issues with the forest now is just they've become too dense, and we've kind of talked about, without getting too political, how that came about, you know. And then we talked about prescribed burning as one of the tools they're using now. And then added a section on just if you're stuck and you can't evacuate, you know, here are some ideas. You know, not that you would use a safety element to get out of the fire, but, you know, at least, you know, if someone's flipping through, it's something that's common sense, right? If you want to find an open ball field or any place without trees or anything that could fall on you, that sort of thing.
On page 21,
mm-hmm.
It may just be my eyes, but awful lot of wilderness is colored as rural residential. Basically, everything west of timber production is wilderness, with a few residences intermixed in there. I'm just wondering if that is... Now, in the second map down, yes, it is federal responsibility area, but that's wilderness, not rural residential.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if your color coding maybe should have it.
Federal land is zoned as rural residential in our county. Yes.
So that's... if it's RR40 on wilderness, I can run animals without a permit.
So it's federal land, so you would have to talk to them as the property owner.
Yeah, it's incorrectly stated. I mean, really, we should just have federal
land. I'm being a smartass here, but really, it might be more beneficial to at least separate out. This is wilderness. I'm not arguing.
No. We agree with you. We would like to have some sort of zoning that indicates that it's federal.
Wilderness.
Or public resources or something.
Yeah, like public lands, right? A lot of other agencies, they'll just have that.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? Yep.
So just a tidbit.
Okay. I could flag it somehow, like this is federal land or whatever. Or put a footnote, it's federal land, but in Siskiyou County we zone it as rural residential. Something like that.
Your bottom map is accurate in my mind. Yeah, it shows who's responsible for responding for fire.
Mm-hmm.
The top map, everything west of timber,
really
should be a little different color green that basically is. This is wilderness with some intermixed residential. And some ag, by the way. And I think you do have some heavy industrial marked in there and a little bit of non-prime ag.
Mm-hmm.
But the bulk of that is wilderness.
Okay, yeah, we'll look at that. Oh, on page 25, this is part of the fire hazard vulnerability assessment. Page 25 for the commission. Basically, we added a graphic just so people can better visualize.
Talking about the dimensions from the structure.
Yes, and then I think that gives a, because we always hear 4290 this and that, and the average person doesn't understand that. I don't understand it. But if you show me a picture that says 5 feet from your house, this should happen, 30 feet from your house, this should happen, 100 feet from your house, this should happen, people can understand that. So we added that section there to help them, and then we provided them a link as well. If you scroll down a little bit, Rachel, right, if they want to learn more, go to CAL FIRE. And then page 27, we're just trying to push people towards the appendix so they can look at the area of the county that they live in. So I was torn. I didn't know if I wanted to put a link on these photos where if they clicked on Mount Shasta, they would take it through that map. But maybe, you know, we don't want them jumping around too much. But anyway, Appendix B will have all those maps that were produced for our county. And then we did the same thing on page 32, right? We did improvements on our flood maps on page 32 for the commission. And I'm not sure what page.
What does that look like?
That one. This one. Yeah. And then we already talked about the hospital session. On chapter 10, that's always going to be the purview of the commission. You know, and then the final say will be the board, obviously.
Page.
But That those are the goals.
What page?
Let's see, chapter page 78, sir. But what I did was I went through and actually stripped out a bunch of the, shortened it a lot. So, because one of the things we don't want it to do is put too many, and I went and attended, I actually attended a CAL FIRE board meeting online. I'm not going to go to Sacramento for that. But they went through a bunch of city safety elements for different cities, and they really, to me, it seemed like they really want a lot of policies and goals and to be put in. I'm of the perspective we want minimal so the county has a lot of discretion to maneuver. The more you put in, the more someone from the community or can bind the county to say, hey, this is goal number one, policy four, you're not following it. So I'm going to sue you, and now you have to do this, you know, that sort of thing. So we've gone through, or I went through, and really kind of just reduced a lot of the goals and policies, right? I mean, a lot of these you'll see, like, there's only two policies for them, right? For the flood hazard, we just said minimize storm, reduce flooding. You know, very specific common sense stuff we should keep in there, but we don't want to be too specific where the county is going to be on the hook to do certain things. We might not have the funding for it, or it might not be in our best interest to do it. But it's something we have time to, at another meeting to go through, but it's something that think about is just what are the types of goals or policies the commission would like to see in addressing these hazards that have been identified, such as wildfire, you know. And I would just like to really stress that we want to keep this section minimal, you know. It's better to have those type of policies separate from the safety element in an informal internal department policy. Type of thing where we can change it more easily than having to take it to a public hearing and go through an entire safety element update. And then 84, page 84, this is going to change. We're going to take out everybody's name, and we're just going to use, that's on just the reference section right here. But we made this one. I added a cow because I thought it was cool.
We don't have a cow on ours.
I know, it's just recently, but it looks good. It looks good, it matches. But what we did here is I made the references easy for people. Like, hey, we use the U.S. Census, and this is the data we got it from. If you want to verify it, click this link. We did that for all the references. It's just that'll be easy for people if they want to read more about things, you know, from the different chapters that they see, right? They'll be able to go there and either verify our information or, you know, make their own, draw their own conclusions.
I would say how the data accessed.
Yeah, I had that originally. There is like a proper way of referencing, right? It's usually, they'll say like, this information was accessed on this date, that sort of thing, but in my mind, it made it cluttered, right?
This is workable.
This is more readable for the average person, you know.
No, I like this edition.
You know, it's very clear who it came from, what this topic is, and where you can get it from. And then, the last two sections were the most fun, actually. Page 105, and really this is where I had the most fun. Page 105 for the commission, and it would just be appendix
C.
Appendix C, thank you for you, Rachel. Yeah. But we just took the FEMA flood maps, and they were very boring, right? And then we put these arrows on there and just jazzed it up. So people might not be familiar with that area can look at that flood map and go, okay, this is what it means. The Callahan Emporium's right there. The flood plain is all over the town. and these are the exit routes. So we did that for every area of the county. The second page of that was the black and white version of that area, and I haven't really decided how we're going to label this, but you can see Wildcat Creek where the flower, I guess, what is that, peonies, yeah, so we did that for every one of these maps, right? Doris, and there's no flood, but the same thing, right? We want to give them some landmarks. There's the city hall, I hope I got that one right. There's the elementary school, there's the way out of town. There's no flood risk, so you don't see anything. So we did that for all the different counties, right?
So,
yes, sir.
Like Dunsmuir, if you go to the North Coast in Oregon, you see maps of escape routes throughout some of those towns because they're concerned about the tsunami. Is there anything in Dunsmuir? Are they have any? You know, from what I understand from CAL FIRE, that's a paradise type fire waiting to happen.
Oh yeah, on both sides of the ridge, right? Right. There's huge forests on both sides of the ridge, and I don't know why the logging company. Who owns it? I forgot. But anyway, yeah, if a fire were to occur, it would just go sweeping right into the town. But at the same time, the saving grace is jump in the river, right? Float down to Sacramento. But yeah, I mean, Dunsmuir is, it's, there's not a lot of...
Well, that's where the early warning comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
McLeod's in the same
boat. Yeah.
McLeod's in the same
boat. Mm-hmm. If you're in Dunsmuir, there's really... two ways to go, north or south.
That's right.
That's you know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not a major deal, but I noticed on the Aetna map.
Yes, sir.
You did not have Sawyer's Bar accent.
Yeah, and that was I ran out of space, right? I wasn't sure where to. I did put the Sawyer's Bar exit on the actual evacuation map.
Okay.
This is just the flood map, because the emphasis was where the flood
We don't want a lot of people having to go that way, but it is an option.
Yeah. Because usually if you're going up Sawyer's, you're going towards the fire, is how I was thinking.
Because they did actually, the county OES used that as an alternate route when that fire was coming. If all heck broke loose, you can get to the top of the summit and keep going.
Part of the fun with these maps was just trying to determine what landmark I wanted to use. So I said City Hall or Dottie's. You know, I was like, we just stick with City Halls and schools. So, and then the last one would be Appendix G, page 161 for the commission. And this is where you'll see the routes, Sheriff Bowell. Right, again, we did it in order, alphabetical order, so people could just flip through. So here's Callahan, right? And then if you look at Aetna, right, there's your storage bar, Sheriff Bowell.
Green.
Okay. So that's all I have. And then, like I said, we had a meeting where I had I attended the initial, and then meeting with CAL FIRE, and basically their board, the state board of forestry and fire protection, is going to want to go through and sign off on our stuff. And so what I've done is I've initiated the informal review process, which means I'll have to sing and dance for CAL FIRE for the next 5-6 months and jump through their hoops. And then once they approve our version, the one that I've just shown you, and I've made those changes, we'll bring it back to you to show you the changes they recommended and how they were incorporated into the safety element. And then by that time, we're hoping it will coincide with the 2026 general plan update, and so we would incorporate and adopt the safety element at the same time. But I want to let the commission know ahead of time what's coming up in August. As you know, we rushed the local hazard mitigation plan last month, just to get it on the books so we could have protection during fire season. But really a safety, really a general plan element should be, can only be updated after 90 days. And so we're gonna go through that same process again in August. So if you see the same thing and you're wondering why, that's why we did it that way, just in case there was a fire between now and August. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have, sir.
Any questions for Mr. Cook? Thank you for incorporating all of our comments, thoughts, and concerns. Well done. And I do like your hyperlinks. That was thoughtful.
Yeah, it's quick.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything further to add on item 4, update on general plan beyond what Mr. Phelps just shared with the hazard, us seeing that again potentially in August, Ms. Lane?
No, we're working with the consultant team on zoning code elements. We have a long laundry list of, you know, action items that we just sent over to them, and they've also incorporated comments that you all have provided over the years. So just excited to start that process and try to clean up our code. Yeah. Okay.
We have talked about this. Was it the last meeting, or maybe it was the meeting that we had regarding Williamson with Supervisor Haupt and Cobb mm-hmm. Seth on the, it's more building, I think, but the question was if there was something in the general plan on waivers for ag structures, and as long as it was below a certain square foot, the waiver, no biggie, it's considered an ag building, and we had the discussion, is it less intense to build one bigger building mm-hmm. or build three buildings to get that storage space?
Right.
Or are we not better off to go on a smaller footprint? Have you taken a look within the scope of the general plan building department where that may fit?
It's on our list.
Okay.
So we haven't had a discussion yet at length with the consultants, but it is in there. So we'll figure out how to best.
Okay.
Yeah, I figured that out.
Similarly, the low-income housing, are we better off having five different footprints spread out?
Right.
Or focusing on doing a really good low-income housing
right.
facility with a less intense footprint?
Right.
Same idea.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 5, future meeting. Next one's July 16th.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Can I go ahead and say it, or do you want to say we don't have an agenda?
Yeah, you can. That's
we
fine.
Don't have anything for an agenda for July.
Good. I'll be here.
We have nothing for an agenda for July.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we.
See our kids.
I think
yes.
I will, for your permission, I'll cancel the meeting.
We don't have any more.
Do you need me to sign something?
I don't think so. If I do,
I'll
send it to you.
So you're getting permission chair to cancel the meeting.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to cancel the July meeting.
So
move.
Second.
Don't everybody all at once.
I'm giving the second to Mr. Hart. The maker of the motion was Mr. Mello. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes? There we go. It's
Gee.
Official.
Yeah. Do we all need a break? Is that what it is?
correspondence, none?
Nope.
Staff comments?
No, sir.
Nope.
Commission comments?
I want to thank staff and this commission for today. Thank you.
Yeah,
I got
thank
one little
you.
Comment. I just read that an airplane was built and fueled with hemp that carries two passengers.
How many?
Two passengers. I just set that up because, you know, you wonder about alternative crops. Just think about it. You're laughing. It wasn't the THC that was the burden. It was hemp.
So take the drive from Tule Lake to Klamath Falls and see what's left over from the hemp experiment.
All I'm saying.
Those fields still aren't in production because they got leased, planted in hemp, and the market went away.
Okay.
It's 3 years old, still laying in the field, and they can't get it to break down.
There used to be a great big sign off I-5, I think, north of Medford, about the wonderful things with hemp. That's why I was laughing.
Their storage to hang it and dry it is still just west of Costco, that huge airline-size hangar.
I
totally
that.
Unused now. That was a multi-million dollar complex built for hemp, and it was a one-year wonder.
Okay, you guys laugh. You get in your hemp car.
And the cows will end up chewing it. I won't be able to feed in it. What are you talking about? All right. Any other commission comments? We're adjourned.